welcome back to the Arty Friends podcast. This is Allison.
And this is Kara.
Today, we are going to be very superficial. After all of the wellness stuff that we just did the last 3 months, we're keeping it light and fun today. And we're just going to talk about expensive things that are worth it to us. Kara, you can talk about how this is a trend on TikTok and YouTube if you want.
Yeah, I've just seen this topic a couple times and I had noticed that myself. I had always paused and watched them. And also, there is a really famous book by Tim Ferriss. He interviewed a bunch of people, successful people. And one of his prompts that he always asks people is, what's something over $100 that was really worth it to you and under $100? And I liked that. And I always love the over $100 ones because I'm like, what is something that people think is expensive but is worth it to them? And I think it's a fun topic because we all have things that we're willing to splurge a little bit on. And it's fun to hear what people value with what they buy.
Exactly. And to me, expensive doesn't always mean like thousands of dollars. To me, it's like the more expensive premium version of that thing.
Yeah.
Like you could have a $2 cup of coffee or a $7 cup of coffee. So my angle that I'm thinking for this is expensive in relation to the cost of that item's other options.
Exactly. I agree. Yeah, you could buy $1 shampoo or you could buy $30 shampoo. Same thing. And I agree. So even though we say expensive, some of these things could be in your budget.
And I was talking about last week how I'm in my quality over quantity era. And I feel like that ties into this because oftentimes that means buying the thing that costs a little bit more now, either so you don't have to replace it or so you get a better value over it. So I'm on board for this. But first, we'll do our catch up, share peaks of the week, and then we'll be conceited and talk about money.
We'll tap into our superficial era. Any updates with you? What's going on?
Well, just so you guys know, we are pre-recording this episode because I'm going to Omaha this weekend. We're having this big sidewalk spring cleaning sale. Really hoping for good weather. I want it to be sunny, but I also don't want it to be windy because the wind in Nebraska this time of year can be so intense. And when you're having an outdoor event, like I feel so bad for the people that have spring weddings in the Midwest and just get their entire wedding day like annihilated by the wind. Even if it's warm, the wind is almost like worse than it being too hot or something. Because there's nothing you can do. It just blows everything away. And I don't want clothes like flying down the street and the racks getting knocked over. So really, really, really hoping for good weather. And then we're going to have like a staff party on Sunday night. And then boom, Monday morning, 5 a.m., I fly back. And on Tuesday, so a week from today, one of my best friends and her husband are going to like this resort in Playa del Carmen with her family. And so we're going to drive up there for the day and have like a cute resort beach day. And Clay hasn't been to Playa del Carmen since he was like 18 or something. And I've only been once when I went skydiving. So it'll be fun to change the scene a little bit, but I'm feeling like feelings about going to Omaha this weekend because I feel so regulated and happy and in my routine right now. And I'm just like, I'm going to go back to Omaha and just like boom, 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 boom from one thing to another thing. There's so many people to have to see and things to go to and stuff with the shop that it's making me appreciate my slow life in Tulum so much because I'm like back to like the American rat race.
Okay, stress. Well, hopefully the 4 days go very smoothly. I agree. That wind sounds awful. And I think that is way worse than colder weather with no wind. I think I'd rather have the colder weather with no wind because wind is so annoying.
I know. Like, could we? I don't know. I get for nature, it needs to spread, you know, pollen for the flowers and the trees. But at what point is just going above and beyond and just a nuisance? That's the word.
Yeah. At what point? I feel like the point is tornado. That's the point. I literally just watched Twisters. That's that
really?
New movie. Yeah. So it's funny you said that because I just watched it like yesterday and it was good. It was cute. I hadn't seen it. I'm like very behind on all of the movies, the big TV shows and stuff. And I want to catch up, but I need less TV times.
Twisters like from our childhood, right?
Yeah. They remade it. Yeah. There's the OG Twister, and then the new one's Twisters. Yeah.
Okay, okay. Did you ever see Dante's Peak?
No.
It's like a volcano erupts. And when my dad was working in Omaha and my mom was finishing her college degree in Kansas, we just lived in my mom in an apartment for a little bit. We had like six movies on VHS because that's how life was back then. If you guys are younger than us, you couldn't just watch whatever you wanted. You had your options and you had to stick to it. And so I've seen one of the Shreks and Dante's Peak and Rugrats in Paris like 75 times and then like nothing else.
That is your personality, was those three movies combined. What a range.
Big range. And yeah, Dante's Peak is not necessarily a kid-friendly movie. It's for sure an adult movie. Oh, Pay It Forward. That was the fourth one.
Okay, I don't know that one. I need to look this up.
Anyway, how was Twister? Twister or Twisters? Which one did you watch?
Twisters. It was good. But also on the list that I do want to watch that I'm behind on is Severance. Have you watched Severance?
Never even heard of it.
Okay, it's like the Apple TV. It's that very famous Apple TV show with Adam something. He's from Parks and Rec. But it's very trippy. I feel like that's the big TV show right now. And White Lotus season 3, I'm also behind on. So lots of media to watch eventually. But I'm just like, ugh, I don't have time. I'm trying to read a book. I have book club on Wednesday that I'm only like a third of the way through. I have 2 days to read the rest of this book. Like, I have other things that are more pressing.
Hot take, but I couldn't get into White Lotus. I tried a few years ago and the humor was weird to me.
It's definitely a different style of TV show. It's a style of slice of life, I think, where you're just peeking into someone's life. Like, it doesn't try to make it interesting or captivating. To me, it just seems like bird's eye view of what people are doing. So I don't think they're trying to make it interesting. Like, I think they're just trying to portray people. That's how I see it. I agree. It wasn't like the most riveting show I ever watched in my entire life. But it's kind of like a breath of fresh air, just like something different. That's kind of like an easy watch, kind of boring. But the people are like fascinating. You're like, wow, this is how people act out of 4 seasons. I don't know.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Something for everyone.
I think season 2 was much better, I will say, because I agree. Season 1 was just like meh. And apparently some crazy stuff's happening this season because I saw someone post like, oh my gosh. I don't know. So we'll see. Quick update here. I went to my uncle's farm yesterday. My aunt and uncle have 18 mini ponies. They have a donkey. They have a lamb. No, they have a sheep that just had 2 baby lamb on Tuesday. So these lamb are not even a week old. And I got to hold the baby lamb. It was so cute. And got to pet the little mini ponies. And my cousin has a little 2-year-old that he brought over. And it was really cute seeing the little 2-year-old playing with the ponies. And the ponies were so sweet and so smart. Like, they knew to be so gentle with him, especially Donkey, which it's funny because they named the donkey Donkey. Which I'm like, wow, you guys are so creative. But Donkey is so sweet. Like, totally knew was a little baby human. Like, was so gentle. Because Donkey would kind of like bump my arm, like pet me, human, and would kind of like bump my dad's arm, but did not do that. It's a little baby. So we had like a little petting zoo day and ordered pizza. And my cousin, so I have 2 cousins that are my cousins of that family of my aunt and uncle, and the girl cousin, Kylie, she just got a puppy. It was animal day. Honestly, yesterday was animal day for me. She got an 8-week-old puppy, a dachshund, so a wiener dog named Goose. So I got to play with the puppy, and they also have 3 dogs. Like, it was madness, but so much fun. And I always love, it's called Oly Springs Farm is their farm. And it's always so much fun to go and see all the animals and get some animal time, because I love horses. But it's so funny because when I was in Colorado last week, we were with these giant Percheron horses, and then being with the mini ponies was such a crazy difference.
Love that you're getting horse time 2 weeks back to back.
I know. And you're a horse. You have horse time growing up. What size were those? Were those like normal size horses?
Yeah. Growing up, my mom's brother had a big farm with like 30, 35 horses. And they were regular sized horses. But now he lives a little closer to the actual town, and he has 2 regular-sized horses and 4 mini ponies. Did I tell you guys this, or did I tell you this when I went in the summer that we fed the ponies apples? We were like, oh my god, this is gonna be so cute. We're gonna cut up apples and go feed the horses. And then one started like flopping on the ground and having like an allergic reaction. And I for sure thought that I killed my uncle's pony. So we like ran like across the farm to his house. We're like banging. We're like, oh my god, I think we killed the pony. She's dying. And he was like, oh, it happened. It had nothing to do with the apples. It was just crazy timing. I was like, oh my god.
You're like, I just killed this horse. No, that's, I mean, the way you said it, I feel like I would have thought the same thing. But he's like, no, she's just itchy.
Yeah, terrifying.
Oh my gosh. That's
funny. Because you know how animals, like weird things that people can eat that you would think like, oh, an animal lives out in nature. It should also be able to eat this.
Yeah.
Like there's some stuff that dogs can't eat.
Right.
I'm trying to think. Like some fruits and stuff.
Grapes, really, yeah.
Grapes. Yes. Like why
super
are grapes?
Toxic. Right? Yeah, that should be, that seems very clean. That doesn't, like chocolate, I kind of understand. Like that seems like it could be a little toxic. Grapes makes no sense.
Even some essential oils are super toxic for dogs.
Eucalyptus is bad, I'm pretty sure.
Like, so strange. I need to do a deep dive on understanding that because
that's
at surface
true.
Level, I'm not comprehending.
It's not clicking. Well, for me, I think that's it. Should we do peaks of the week?
Yes. This is a peak and a valley. I went for my first outdoor run in a little too long yesterday. Clay has been running a lot. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to go for a run because it was like 2:00 yesterday and there just wasn't a workout class like at that time. And I was like on the verge of being hungry. And I was like, I don't want to wait to work out after dinner. I just want to go and get it done. So I go for this run. First of all, it was so hot. And second of all, I was working on my rooftop a little bit on my phone, like sitting in the sun. So I started the run dehydrated and already out in the sun, but it was like making me excited because I was like, oh, you know, the sun feels so good on my skin. Maybe I should just get up and go for a run. And it was humbling and I'm sore today. I still did it, like didn't walk, pushed through, but man, it does not feel like how it did when I was 18 in prime cross country shape. Like I got to get back into it.
Wow, that's exciting. How was the terrain? Because I know it can be a little rugged. Were the roads like normal? How is that compared to running in Omaha?
Oh,
because in
shit.
Omaha. Oh, okay. Did you run on sidewalks and stuff? I was just learning about this. Because I met some trail runners in Colorado and they're like, oh, we cannot run in the city. Like we have to run on trails. It's so much softer on our knees.
Yeah, trail running is great if there's a path, and same with cross country, you would run on trails versus sidewalks. But here in Tulum, it's just like random gravel dirt roads with a bunch of potholes and you have to watch where you're going like every step.
Oof.
And there was one moment where I was like, okay, I'm just going to look up, like my feet will figure it out. And I literally tripped and almost ate shit. So I was like, all right, back to just staring at the ground, which made it a little less fun because I couldn't mentally like zone out and get into that running flow as much because I had to make sure every step I didn't face plant.
Oh,
but
that's brutal.
I'm sure I can find some sort of path here, maybe, that is a little less dangerous and then it will be more fun. But I'm just glad I did it, you know?
Like, yeah.
I ripped the Band-Aid.
That's brain work, not just physical work.
Yeah.
Like, dodging things.
I know. And then because you can't run in a regular pattern, like striding, because it's like, oh, let me jump over this pothole. Okay, let me double step over this one. Anyway.
Well, that's exciting that you got back into it.
Yes. What was your peak of the week?
I'll say my peak, lots of family time. I went to dinner. So it was me, my dad, my grandma, and then my aunt and uncle, who they have a bed and breakfast out in Pennsylvania. But then their son, my cousin, actually the one with the 2-year-old, and his wife recently bought a restaurant. They bought the Fireside Tavern. It's in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, specifically Strasburg. So if you guys are ever in Strasburg, you should definitely, definitely go. The food is amazing. It's huge. And we had a lovely dinner. Me, my dad, my grandma, my aunt, uncle, my cousin, Reese, Helen, and then my other cousin, Reese's brother, Ross, and his wife, Courtney. So it was a full table, but it was so much fun. And I was very appreciative because obviously living in the Midwest, getting over to Pennsylvania can be hard. And it was really nice that when me and my dad came in town, being here, that they made the time to see us, because I know like nobody has to drop everything or make the time to see us because we don't even expect that. Like, you know, we're the ones coming super last minute because I decided to do this like 4 days in advance or something, 3 days in advance. And it was very, very nice that my cousins were able to come and join us for dinner. We had so much fun in this place. I'm going to link it in the show notes. It's also a wedding venue. Like, this is a massive, massive restaurant. I think they have like 70 employees under payroll.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it's just so cool that my cousin has this entrepreneurial vision. And it's very inspiring because they just like hustle. They have it. Like, they have the drive. And it's a very iconic restaurant. It's really cool to see them continuing that. And yeah, they knew they wanted to have a business, but I think a lot of people forget that you can buy businesses. Like, you don't have to start from scratch. And I think that's a great example of this. And they're already crushing it. And I can't wait to see them continue to be successful.
Aw, that's so fun that your whole family like showed up for support. I love it.
Yeah. Okay, should we read everyone else's peaks? Jenna said, I had a self date in Central Park. Oh, love that we're getting outside, getting in the nicer weather in Central Park. How iconic.
Mia said, reflecting and reading during two consecutive pool days, Arizona is finally the perfect weather. That sounds very delightful. I hope you're enjoying your books.
Hannah said, I got accepted into a counseling psych PhD program. Love the pod. Congratulations, Hannah. That's super exciting.
And this one is so heartbreaking. And I want to preface this by saying, like, sending you the biggest hug and so much love. Jane said, my dad passed away and we're currently selling our childhood home. So your podcast really helped me get through this. I just am sending thoughts and prayers to you and your family and hope that there are brighter days ahead for you guys.
Yeah, sending so much love. So sorry for your loss.
And as always, send in your peaks of the week on our Instagram story box every Monday, Arty Friends Podcast. And now, getting into expensive things that are worth it to us. Take it away. What is top of your list?
Okay, I'm going to go all over the place. So we can start with an expensive one. me and Connor, I guess maybe we've talked about this on the podcast, but maybe not the specific brand. Probably 3 years ago, we got the Hydro Viv water filters for our shower in our house. And those, they go under your sink. It just filters your water based on your specific zip code. We found it. I knew that we wanted to get like a good water filter system because we had been using a Brita. And of course, you find out that the Brita sucks. So then we got a Pure, which is the one that screws on top of your sink. And then we found out the Pure isn't good either. So we're like, oh my God, it just was getting really frustrating. So then we found the Hydroviv, and I'm going to pull up the actual price because I want to be real because this one is kind of expensive. It can range from $246 to $400. But then, so that's the under the water filter versus in the shower filter. But then each time, because you have to replace the filter every 6 to 9 months, that's around $70, I think, a refill. So that's something that I will probably never know if it's actually working, but it just gives me peace of mind because it filters chlorine, lead, all those things that you think the Pure or the Brita are filtering, but they're actually not. They're actually sucking and they are a scam.
That's a really good one. And it goes onto the shower head too, right? Do I remember you saying that, or is that separate?
Yeah, it's a weird... it goes on the shower head, but it's like a... That one isn't behind our plumbing. That one you can see it, which is kind of ugly, but... I mean, I think I'd rather have clean water than aesthetic.
And same brand?
Yeah, that's the same brand. Also, I would love, this is a future one that I want to add to this list. I want to get a water softener. I feel like you've been on that train. You know about the water softeners. I've just learned how disgustingly hard the St. Louis water is. And because I've noticed I will break out when I'm in St. Louis, but I will go to other places and I do not break out. Like, I rarely get acne. And I do actually think it is because of the hard water. And I don't know, I guess I just thought since I had filters that was like counteracting what hard water versus soft water is. But no, it's a whole nother thing. And so I've been researching because you can get a whole system for your house or you can just soften your shower head water. I'm trying to figure out, obviously the one for your whole house is much more expensive. I'm trying to figure out what route we go with that. But I would like to add that to maybe something that is pricey that will be worth it for me.
Well, you guys own your house, so I feel like that is an investment that could make a lot of sense. And yeah. I only know about it because my dad, he was onto this way back. And I remember his parents had a water softener when we were kids. And when you open it up, it's like salt chunks.
Yeah,
we were so young. And my cousin was like addicted to salt. He loved chips and anything with salt on it. And so one time when we were kids, we like dared him to eat one of the salt chunks. And
stop.
Horrible, but he was like fine with it. anyway, that's like when I picture soft water setups, like I'm picturing us as kids, like daring my cousin to eat the chunk. But my dad recently installed one in his new house. I guess I say new as in the house that my dad and his wife built together. And he figured out how to install the whole thing himself. He like redid all of the plumbing and built an extra like pipe contraption to have the water. It goes through the soft water container first and then through the other ones. And he was so proud. Last time I was in town, he was like, look at what I did. And I'm like, I mean, yeah, that's very impressive.
Wow.
And it does. It feels unbelievable to shower with soft water.
Yeah, I think I need it. So that will be adding to the list. That is very impressive because like you said, I don't think a lot of people realize it. I didn't realize it, but soft water is just adding salt to your water. So fun fact for you guys. There you go.
And it does. It makes your skin feel so much more soft and moisturized. It almost feels like there's like a layer of oil around your body when you get done.
Yeah, because the hard water is calcium buildup. It's really gross. Like, once you learn about it, it really makes you want to figure it out and want to get on the soft water train.
Yeah, living in Tulum, the water here is pretty gnarly. And I think I told you guys last fall, like my hair was thinning a lot, partially because I wasn't eating meat, partially because of the water. But my friend Liz that lives here, she had her own salon in Colorado before she moved here and she sold it. And she made this mixture for me of a couple different things, but apple cider vinegar. And so I do a rinse with it after I shower. So if you guys do have hard water, highly recommend like looking up some sort of homemade DIY solution that then you can put into your hair after you shower, because that has been helping so much. And you just leave it in. You don't even wash it back out.
Okay, that's really good to know if you can't get a filter or something like that.
Has it ever felt like you're doing everything right, eating healthy, working out, but your energy still crashes or your mood swings hit out of nowhere? I know I have, and what I've learned is that a lot of these issues are tied to hormonal imbalances. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in, today's sponsor. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy, just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part, after taking this quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the hormone quiz myself and it gave me some personalized insights into what might be happening with my hormones and how I can feel better. One of the recommendations I got was taking Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, and more. And it's an herbal formula that fine tunes the hormonal system. It doesn't just help with progesterone, estrogen, testosterone, but it also helps with stress hormones such as cortisol, which is a huge troublemaker that can contribute to weight gain, fatigue, and many other things. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It's become such an essential part of many women's daily routines with over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds. The results speak for themselves. In fact, a survey found that 86% of women lost weight and 77% saw an improved mood, while 100% said they felt like themselves again. If you're ready to start feeling like yourself again, head to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute Hormone Harmony quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with our code ALREADYFRIENDS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ALREADYFRIENDS for 15% off today.
Okay, what's on your list?
First thing I'll say is anything related to a good night's sleep. I love good sheets. The ones that I currently have on my bed are from Etude. They're bamboo silk, which feels really good here since it's more humid. Like the silk just feels very light and airy. When I was in Omaha, I had linen sheets, which I also really loved. Those were a little less soft in the silky sense, but they were still really soft in like a raw, natural way. And then my pillows are from the brand Silk and Snow. Oh my God, they're the best pillows ever. I literally brought all four of them from Omaha to Tulum in a checked suitcase. Like, that's insane. My entire suitcase was just four pillows, but worth it. And my silk eye mask.
No, that sounds so nice. Like, you have to get good sleep.
I know. And traveling a lot, the pillows, unless you're staying at like a nice hotel, the pillows in some of the Airbnbs or short-term rental apartments can be a little scary. Like, how long and have they been here? How many people have used these? What's gone on these pillows? I don't know. I want my own pillow.
Well, you bring up your own pillow traveling because I have seen people doing that. And honestly, I think I need to start doing that because for me, a lot of them are way too thick and it hurts my neck.
I know. And if they're too thin, then I need two and it has to be the right height. But if it's too high, then I feel like I'm like Princess P on top of like 10 mattresses.
Yeah.
Clay and I were talking about this because we were like, okay, if we go to Europe in the fall, what suitcase design do we do and what do we need and what do we keep? And I was like, I know it's going to take a lot of room, but the pillows have to come. And he was like, okay, one, how about? Because I brought four here. And I was like, no, you're right. I only need one to actually sleep on. The others are just for the aesthetic to make it look nice. But I'm like, I could live with that, just bringing one around. And I think I'm going to start becoming that person.
Okay. I have seen this on TikTok, which I thought was so dramatic and a huge like embarrassment to do, but for this instance I think it would actually be 100% worth it. Those vacuum sealed pumps and the bags that people bring traveling so they can bring more stuff, that would be a good instance to use it, because otherwise I'm like, on a regular trip I'm like, just bring less stuff. Like, that's embarrassing behavior to vacuum seal things so that it's so tiny that you can bring more. But in this instance, 1000% I think you should do that. Just vacuum seal the pillow.
I agree. And maybe if you had enough room and you were staying for long enough, the bedding.
Yeah.
Because actually, like, the bedding doesn't take up that much room, because it's not like I'm bringing a full comforter. It's literally just like the duvet without a duvet insert.
That's smart.
So either way, adding that whole thing as expensive things that are worth it to me is paying for checked luggage to bring what I want. And I cannot even believe I'm saying that, because I used to be the girl that was like, one backpack for 3 months, it's fine. And now I'm like, no, I want my things. If I'm going to be there for a while, like, I don't care. Like, going to Omaha this weekend for 4 days, like, of course, I'm just going to take like a backpack worth of clothes and I'll deal with whatever pillow situation that's there. But if I'm staying for a month somewhere, I don't know.
Check that bag.
Checking it.
Pay the $35. Yes.
Which I'm debating. I'll update you guys. On my way back from Omaha to Tulum, one of the legs, American was like, upgrade to first class for $94. And one of the perks of that with American is two free checked bags. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, did a little research. If one of the legs of your flight is first class, they will typically bump up even your economy seat to first class in the sense of your luggage. So like, I would, then my luggage could go all the way through, because I do have some stuff from Omaha I want to bring back. And I'm like, okay, 35 plus 35 is 70. If I'm only going to pay 70 for bags, might as well just upgrade to the first class ticket for $94 more. It's a pretty good deal.
1000%. That would be something expensive, quote unquote. That is 100% worth it. We've done that for work too. When people, I feel like it's even been like $75, where it just like totally makes sense. Like, why would you not pay for the first class? We have done that before, where videographers have, you know, their expensive camera gear. There's two of those and it just makes sense to put them in first class. 100% agree. No notes.
No, I can't believe I didn't know this before. I'm like, what am I doing?
Well, yeah, I guess it's not every time, but yes, the one leg does cover it. From my experience, you're 100% right that it would cover for both legs of the flight. That's so worth it.
Okay, I'll report back next week. It would be my first class. Have you? I mean, I'm sure you have. Like, you go everywhere.
I have only done first class once because I had status. I think it was actually a fluke. For some reason, I had status on Delta for like 3 months. I genuinely think it was a programming error, because I've never done anything to earn status on Delta. Like, I do not fly enough on Delta, but I had status for like 3 months and I got bumped up once, Atlanta to St. Louis. So it might be like a first class like that, where it was like a 9 o'clock flight, because I was only silver. If you guys know the statuses of Delta, silver is the lowest one. Still, I have no idea how that happened, because I did not do anything. But I got bumped up on a very random flight where, because usually if you're the lowest status, everyone else gets above you, but like no one was on this flight. And it was just bigger two seats on like a smaller plane. So it was still nice, but you can get some crazy first class seats like going across the Atlantic or the Pacific. So I'm guessing that's what yours will be, because it's Omaha to Tulum. Yeah. But it's nice. Lots of room, fancy people.
Which, while we're on the topic, I'm going to ask, do you think in general first class is worth it? And in what instances would you justify paying for first class?
I have definitely thought about this. Like, every time I board a flight and I'm in 38E.
Me too.
Which was literally, if you guys saw my hot coffee video, I posted a video on TikTok and I'm literally in the last row. Like, I literally got 38E. And I'm walking past all these children sitting in first class, literally a family with their three kids. I'm like, damn, I don't know. I've thought about this. I think for sure, if you have mobility issues, like a back issue, I feel like that would be worth it, you know, reclining, or that's definitely for like longer flights. I do think a lot of those people get upgraded. Like, I do not think 80% of those people are paying for first class. I think if you're larger, people will pay for first class. I guess that family probably booked first class because they didn't get upgraded. You can't be five and get upgraded. So do you have an idea of what would be a good time? I don't know.
Along with how you said if you were a larger person, like especially if you're really tall as well, like Clay being 6'1", even like a 4-hour flight when he's in the back, he's like, my body hurts so bad. Like he has nowhere to put his legs because from his hip to his knee is like so long that his knee is like in the chair. Oh, so then he has to like split his legs open. And like then he feels like he's taking over the person next to him. I feel like for my body size, economy seats are fine. I literally put my feet up on the chair, can curl into a ball and like put my hood on and have Peaches in the chair next to me. So yeah. The bigger seat in first class is not really a factor for me as much. I would say it's the ego. Like I always feel yeah. so humbled walking past first class. Like you're like making eye contact with everyone and you're like, let me just be a peasant, get to the back of the plane. Like, cause same, I always book my flights last minute. So for me to even have a seat smaller than 20, it's always like 27, 22, 25. Like I'm always way back there, which if I am choosing my seats, sometimes I'll try to go in the back because I'm like, okay, this lessens my chance that someone's going to be next to me.
Yeah.
I would rather have an economy seat with no one next to me than a first class seat with someone next to me.
And 100%.
I have this belief that I always get a seat with no one next to me. And I could make like a TikTok video compilation. Like I have been on easily 100 flights where no one is next to me. Somehow always happens. Or even like the attendant will come over and she'll be like, hey, do you want to move to this row? No one's in it. Like just picks me each time. So I'm staying in that belief because it's working.
It's true. That's just how that works. It's a belief. No, I am sad with that. I'm sad that Southwest is getting rid of the open seating because Southwest open seating has guaranteed me a row to myself for the last like 4 times I've flown. Because I guess I'm always flying at random times. Like the lounges aren't always busy when I fly, but my dad will be flying. He's like, oh, the lounge had a hour wait. I'm like, what? I feel like I'm flying at odd times. So I get a lot of empty planes and I would just run to the back in a Southwest flight and sit in the middle seat.
There
so like
go.
No one's going to sit next to me. I mean, obviously I wouldn't do that one. They're like, it's a full flight. I would not do that. But I'm like in B and not everyone's even lined up. I'm like, okay, I'm getting rid of myself. So I am sad they're getting rid of that. But back to your question, I think you would be surprised.
Ocean.
Yeah, I would definitely splurge on a first class ticket with points. I don't think I'd ever pay cash. Like, you cannot catch me ever paying cash for a first class ticket, ever. Unless I would pay for an upgrade. Like, I would bid for an upgrade. If it was, like, $400 to bid for an upgrade, I would probably do that for the plot. Just bid $400 to $600. I don't think you'd ever catch me paying $7,000 to $10,000 for a ticket. Because that's one way on first class for most cases. Or I think one way in the U.S. for first class is, like, $600. I don't know. I think all those people get upgraded on status. So if you ever do feel humble, like you said, because I do that too, of walking by the people in first class, just know that a lot of them are on planes like 4 to 6 times a week. Like they work a lot and then they just have diamond medallion from working all the time. So it's like, do you really want to do that just to maybe get upgraded?
You're right. I think, like you said, to wrap this up,
yes,
I would do it once for the plot on a really long flight. That's like
yeah.
over an ocean. And if it was through the night to where then I also could skip needing a hotel room that night, then it would be like, okay, I'll pay for a nicer seat because then I can get a proper good night's sleep tonight and then roll into this trip like feeling good.
Yeah, like at the right price.
Yeah, on normal domestic travel, like a 2-hour flight, like Omaha to St. Louis, Omaha to Dallas, probably not worth it to me.
Now I have Googled, like, what salary do I need to make to only fly business in first class? And it's more than a million. So I got to get my bag up. Like, that could be someone's worth it. I actually do have a friend who she says that she always despised business flying international. She's like, I will have less money just to do that because it's worth it to me. And I'm like, me and my other friend were like, we disagree, but I love that for you. So Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Okay. Honestly, related to this in the travel category, I will say something that is expensive, but worth it for me at this point in my life is going on trips that I want to go on. I've gone to a few more expensive places. Like, for example, I went to the Galapagos Islands, which is traditionally a more expensive place to get to because the flights to Ecuador are expensive. Then you have to fly from Ecuador mainland to the islands. And then there's a ton of entrance fees, like $100 just for being there, $5 for a boat ride, $20 for a bus ride. Like, that trip was expensive, but just knowing where I'm at in my life, I want to knock out these more expensive, harder to get to places because everyone else that was there was retired. Like, I don't want to wait till I'm retired to do some of these things. And not that you have to wait until you're retired, but I am willing to pay for more expensive destinations right now. That's kind of worth it to me.
I would agree on traveling now. I can't think of any super expensive trips that I've done lately, but definitely prioritizing travel. Like, you and I, we've traveled so much in our 20s, and I don't regret it ever. Like, occasionally, if I'm caught up and I'm like, damn, why don't I have this or this yet? Then I think how happy I am and how many experiences we've had and all of the places we've gone and how much we've learned along the way that I'm like, if I die now, like, you can't take that away from me. Like, we got to experience all that. So for me, in a nutshell, travel is just always going to be worth it to me, even if it's more expensive, even if I, quote, maybe can't afford it at that time, like, should be putting more in savings for something, like, I'm still going to take the trip almost always.
Another one that comes to mind for an expensive destination, me and McKenna and Hania went to Hvar, Croatia, which has now gotten a little more pricey. Because if you don't know, Hvar is an island outside of Dubrovnik and outside of Split. So it's like 2 hours from each out in the ocean. And now it's just kind of like a mega yacht, billionaire playground. Like, it's just gotten very expensive. But so at first, we only booked, I think, 2 nights there in the tiniest little dollhouse Airbnb. And it was still very expensive. But we ended up extending another 2 days just because we loved it so much. And we, you know, we did the day bed where it was like $80, which is insane for a day bed each. And we did the more expensive things. So we're like, we don't know if we'll ever come back here. Let's go all out. Let's do the Hvar things, quote unquote. And that was very worth it because we still like gush over that trip. Me and McKenna have like still been depressed since leaving Hvar. And that was last summer. We send each other Croatia videos all the time. We're like, it's an emergency. We need to go back.
Croatia is really beautiful. I love how the beaches are more like rocks. Mm-hmm. Like, something about it, like, it makes it look so majestic, but in this time that it makes you think it's like 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Even though it's very modern and there's all of this cool stuff going on, like the architecture and the beaches made me feel so nostalgic. But I like how you said, like, once you're there, like, you might as well just do it. And I think that's a good approach for travel. Like, if you have already gone out of your way, you've taken work off, you've saved up for this trip, you're packed, someone's watching your kids or pets, you get there, like, what, now you're not just going to get the $80 day bed? Now you're just like not going to go out to dinner? Now you're just not going to go to the event or the tour that you wanted to go on? Like, just commit, I think, and enjoy yourself rather than trying to save like $100 here and there on a trip when you've already come 98% of the way.
Yeah, 1,000. And if we have to give and take, I'll always give on the food on a trip. Like, we were eating breakfast out of like the grocery store. We would just go get a yogurt and like a little croissant out of the grocery store in Hvar. So our breakfast is like $4. And I would literally get a coffee from the grocery store and it was $2. I'm like, okay, I would rather eat and get like a to-go sandwich from there. I'd rather eat less good. Sorry, I'm like, words are hard. I'd rather splurge less on the food than to get to do the other stuff. But that's just me, because I know that's been a hot topic. I have friends that wholeheartedly disagree. Like, the food is the reason they travel. But I think a mix of both always. Like, we still did nice dinners and stuff, but I'm always happy to save money and just eat to sustain on a trip sometimes.
I think I'm good with like one nice meal out per day on a trip. Like, mm-hmm. if we're doing the grocery store breakfast or just grabbing something quick, then I'm like, okay, I want a cute dinner. Or yes. If we go have a really nice brunch, then I'm like, whatever, we can grab some groceries and like make pasta at home tonight.
Yeah, that I agree. A mix of both. And it makes you feel better too. Sometimes eating out all the time, like really rich, heavy meals, makes you feel disgusting.
Agreed. Okay, well then let's talk about food, because we both put down like buying the expensive food.
Yeah.
One thing about us. Groceries and stuff.
We're going to eat good. Yeah. What food are you thinking of?
Definitely like with the produce. Like if I'm at the grocery store, I'm just going to get every single thing I want for the most part. Like if I want a huge tub of yogurt, if I want all of this fresh produce, I'm like, the price is going to be what it's going to be. Like you will never catch me looking at a coupon. You'll never catch me like comparing prices. I'm going to buy whatever grocery I want. And I know that that is probably a privileged thing to say. It wasn't always this way, but the quality of the food that I want to have in my house, it's just an expense that I'm willing to take on, and I will work harder to make more money in order to eat good.
I wrote down for one of those, for my example, pasture-raised eggs. Well, now there's an egg shortage, so I'll take what I can get at this point. I don't know if it's hit you in Mexico, but there's like no eggs. I literally went to Costco and the only option they had was quail eggs. And I'm like, not today. We're not doing
that. What?
Yes, it was fully wiped out. They only had quail eggs. I'm like, I don't feel like being adventurous this week. So we found them at another store. But typically, I'm always going to reach for now I'll take cage free. Either because that's like there's literally nothing at the grocery stores. They had to kill like a million chickens because of the bird flu, so there's like no eggs. But typically I'm down to spend $6 to $8 more. I think that's like it's usually like $6 versus like $2 for the pasture raised eggs, just because I see the difference. They're orange, they're bright orange instead of yellow. Another one, this is really silly, but I like olives now, and I will pay the exuberant price difference to go to the Whole Foods hot bar for the olive bar rather than get a jarred can of olives, because the olives that are in cans are so disgusting. Like, I've tried three different kinds. Like, they do not taste the same as the fresh ones from Whole Foods. I do not know why, but there's a huge taste difference for me, so I'm always going to get the Whole Foods olive bar. And something that you also wrote down is just going out for coffee. Connor's brother is a huge coffee enthusiast, and he's like, to buy the type of machine at your house to make coffee shop quality lattes, you are better off cost effectively just going out and getting a latte when you want a latte. So that was something. He's very smart. I'm like, okay, if Corey is saying that, then I trust that that's the truth. And I feel like you just gotta, life is about romanticizing the little things, going out and getting a coffee with Connor or with Margot and sitting there. Like, I'm gonna spend the $8.
Yeah, for me, a lot of times food is about the experience. Like if you're eating out, like when we go to do our beach day at the hotels, me and Clay or me and a friend, and how I said it's like a $75 to $100 per person minimum. To me, the experience, and this comes from I used to run a bar and nightclub, you're packaging it all in. So it's like, it's not the salad that's $28. It's the fact that you're getting to sit on a beach bed. Someone did the laundry. You have a towel. They hired a DJ. I just don't understand how people can't calculate that cost like into the food. So then at the end of the day, when my bill's $100, I'm like, yes, technically it all went to food, but like I got a beach bed, I got to go on a beach walk while someone watched my stuff and I didn't have to carry it with me. Yeah. I got to hear this music, be inspired, be around cool people. Like it's a package deal for me. And one more thing on the food at grocery stores. Now that I'm eating dairy and meat, I'm pretty squeamish about it still. So buying the nicer meat really is important to me. And it's better if, I don't know, mentally, if I think that the animal had a nice life and got to roam around and was like grass-fed beef, like that type of thing.
Oh, it makes me feel better. 1,000%. There is a taste difference. I will die on the hill that you can taste the difference when the animal was treated better. Something expensive related to this that me and Connor recently bought that was 1,000% worth it. We bought half a cow. It was $600, something around. It was like $500 or $600 to buy half a cow and butcher half a cow. But we have a whole freezer stocked of ground beef, steaks. We literally have every single part of that half the cow. And then Connor's parents bought the other half. So we went in with someone and split the cost of literally just buying a cow from the farm. Perks of being in Missouri. I'm sorry. If you guys live in the Midwest, you should absolutely go to a local farm and just buy a cow, because then tasting this cow that we bought, it was just so different. It tastes so much better.
Oh, that's a great idea. My parents would do that when we were kids. And yeah, you're like whole freezer. It is also such a Midwest thing because it requires you to have an extra fridge freezer situation, which means you have to have a garage or a basement or something. Mm-hmm. Just so Midwest. Like,
no, it's so Midwest. It's insane. We literally got a freezer from Connor's parents for Christmas 1 year because we were going to buy a cow. Yeah, it is very Midwest, but it's just so good.
I want to wrap this food chunk one with my coffee thoughts, too, because after Clay and I went to Colombia in 2019 and last year, we did the coffee farm tour thing. So it's like a really big part of the tours in there. You go to a coffee farm, you get to see how the coffee's made, how it's grown, the whole process. And now I know too much to not give coffee the love and attention that it deserves, because it is such a process just to have one cup of coffee. And I think it's like such a spiritual practice for me in the morning, journaling, making my coffee, that I would way rather pay for the beans that I love so that this very important part of my day can be exactly how I want it to be. And I'm always grind my beans fresh every single morning. The difference is crazy. So I make pour over coffee. I've been doing that for about a year. So you heat the hot water in the kettle and then grind the beans to the right grind, which I feel like I'm getting really good at it, because you have to like hear it in the grinder to make it not too finely ground, but not too bean like still. Like it has to be just right, so that then when you put it in the pour over and you pour the hot water on, you need a nice steady stream. It has to be, you can't just pour the water in really fast and drown the beans. You have to do a steady stream, so then you get the bloom on top. And the days that I get a perfect bloom, the difference in taste in the coffee is unbelievable. It tastes so good. It just makes me so happy.
Wait, that totally reminds me of, there was this pug that everyone loved on TikTok, and it was like, I don't remember what it was exactly because I never really watched it, but the pug died recently and everyone was like, oh, not the pug. But they had a good bones day or a no bones day. And basically if the pug like stood up on his legs, it was like a good bones day and it was going to be a good day. But if it like didn't get up and it was like a no bones day, and it was going to be a bad day. And you saying that, it's like, if it's a bloom day, it's going to be a good day. If it's a no bloom day, it's going to be a bad day. And that's totally what that reminded me of.
Oh, and it actually ties into me being intentional, because if I'm present and I do it slowly, it's always going to be a good bloom. But if I don't pay attention and I over grind the beans too finely because I'm thinking about something else and my to-do list for the day, then they're too finely ground. Or if I'm hurrying and pour the water too fast, then it doesn't bloom up. So yeah, it's like a daily reminder for me to slow down. And I can't multitask. Like I can't be looking at my phone. I can't be talking. I have to fully be doing the whole process with both hands. And so if you're someone whose morning routine doesn't feel that grounding, highly recommend switching to that. Like, do you remember Fashionless? We had her on the podcast to talk about her journey as a content creator. She posted on her story the other day that she wanted a new coffee morning experience. And I was like, please try the pour over route. I was like, this is not a bougie, like a pour over thing costs like, mine is a cotton, organic cotton net that was $5, because a lot of the filters in coffee, they have chemicals and plastics in them. And so literally all it goes through on mine is just this cotton net. And I was like, it will make you be so intentional and then start your day that way. And then likewise, if I go to a coffee shop, I'm gonna pay, because I just like black coffee. I don't want anything in it. So I can really taste if it's a good cup of coffee. And therefore, if I'm traveling or even in a city wherever I am, I want to go to the coffee shop that will put the same amount of effort that I do in, and I'll pay whatever.
Yeah, that's a really great one. Okay, should we do one more, maybe a superficial one?
Go yes, out with a bang. Take it away. Yeah.
Okay, I have a bunch, but the one that I'll say, I'll wrap on. I bought a nice wallet when we were in Paris on our honeymoon. I really wanted to get like a vintage designer bag, but I was open to whatever form that came in. And our last day in Paris, we were walking around and we stumbled upon a vintage market, like all these tents, like as far as your eyes could see, with just different vendors of vintage prints, vintage furniture, vintage, literally everything. And I found a vintage bags tent, and it was all these beautiful Dior bags, Prada bags, everything. And they were amazing prices. And I found a vintage Dior wallet, and it was priced at $225, but I negotiated it down to 180 euros, so around like $200. But that was something that I wanted to splurge on, because I feel like it was on the podcast you were talking about how your money needs to be in a good home. I don't know, like having your money like actually in a nice wallet does make a difference with just telling God, universe, like just putting out the energy that you care about money. And that had resonated with me, because I'm like, oh, I literally don't have any cash ever. I did have a nice wallet. I did have a wallet from my friend's brand of Oakamore, and it was really nice. It was like, it was leather as well, but it was just tiny. And I'm like, I want something that's like really me, really cute and fun. And so I splurged and spent, almost $200 on a vintage wallet.
That's a great investment. It's timeless. You're going to use it for a long time. A wallet is something that you literally use every day. And the energetics behind that, as you said, we were talking about it. I can't remember what episode, but it's important to have respect for money by respecting the house that you're putting it in. So I think that's great. That sounds like a very worthwhile splurge to me.
Okay, what's your last one?
Mine is related to Peaches, my dog. When I lived in the States, getting her groomed was so insanely expensive, like $150 each time, because she has very high maintenance fur. And I would still do it all of the time. Like, even in the US, I would do it every 4 to 6 weeks. But now that I'm here in Salima, it's about half the price. So she gets to go like every 2 weeks. And I could pretty much mitigate this cost if she just had short fur. But I love how she looks with her longer fur and her cute curls and her fluffy face. So for me, it's totally worth it to have a cuter dog. And then I feel like people are nicer to her, and I feel like she gets to feel luxurious. And the other day I was sitting at this park, and this girl came out of this restaurant, and she looked so bougie, so done up. She was like in her blazer, she was on the phone, and her dog looked crusty as fuck. And I was like, dude, you have enough money? Like, please go get your dog groomed. Especially like the little poodle dog breeds, the stereotypes against little white crusty dogs, I get it. It's so real. And the reason that that has happened is because it's expensive to get your dog groomed. So I feel like if you're not going to take care of your dog and you get a very high maintenance dog, like, it's either like keep it short and so you don't have to do it all the time, or pay to get it groomed, because it's not fair to the animal that it like looks like a dirty dust mop. And I wasn't as good about it in college, so now I feel like I have to make up to Peaches and keep her looking like a girly. But people are so nice to her, and I think it's because she looks good. And it makes me feel, like a better pet parent. And I'm giving up money I could be spending on myself for her. But it's a sacrifice I will make because I love her.
Yeah, and that's something to consider with certain breeds. If you're going to buy a dog, that you should include that in the cost of the pet.
100%. Yeah. Any poodle breed is not a budget-friendly dog. They are very, very high maintenance.
But again, it's worth it.
For me. Yep. Okay, well, this is fun.
Yeah, this was fun and lighthearted. We hope you guys enjoyed. I liked it. It was fun to compile a list. I'm like, what do I spend a lot of money on? Let me validate that. Let me make some excuses on the show for why it's worth it.
It all ties back into the 8 dimensions of wellness, because every single one of these improves my health in some sort of sense. It either helps my mental health, it helps my home environment, it's better for my body, helps my relationships, whatever. So justified by me.
Already friends approved. Thank you guys for being here, and we'll catch you on another episode next week.
Bye.
Bye.